and Eitan and me is six.
Okay.
Maybe me. You talking about the mission?
You have?
No. 20 minutes. Late minute. Quarter to nine.
Yeah?
Okay, good.
Did you hear the story about the Chofetz Chaim's picture not being accurate?
Right. No. Well, anyway, we got to get going.
I'll pick him up.
Get going. Like okay. Anyway, last time we were learning in the Hilchos Yontif in the Rambam, we discussed the law of making a fire, but there was another set of laws we didn't get to, and that was Mechaba, extinguishing. They're related. So let's just quickly go through those halachas. We're not in the Rambam this minute. Let's just go through those halachas to get it completed, as it is nogea for yontif as well. So it's good to do it. So again, the malacha mechaba means includes not only putting out a fire completely, but even partially. So therefore, you can't even extinguish even a single log of a large fire, even though the rest of the fire is going to continue to burn. That's still not allowed. Now, obviously, this malacha is related to food preparation, because if you reduce the fire when something's cooking on it, you keep the thing from not burning, which is certainly a thing that's a necessary activity for the cooking process. So in terms of that, that's allowed when there's food cooking on the pot, and if you don't lower it, it will burn. If you take it off, it's raw, so you have to lower the fire. But it's interesting that since this malacha is only really indirectly involved in the food preparation, it's not like it's cooking it, it's reducing the cooking. So that's like an indirect. So for that reason, although other malachas, for example, let's say kindling, right, their use is a direct thing to make it happen. So we allow not only for food, but for other things where the heat is direct, making a fire is direct. Now, here's where the difference becomes, and there's a big discussion amongst the rabbis. This is understood as called the expression mitoch, since. Since we're allowed to make a fire, you know, kindle a fire to make for food, then I can kindle a fire for something else, like a light or something else. But extinguishing is not directly involved in the cooking process, more of an indirect. So for that reason, they're not so lenient in allowing extinguishing for other things to extend it beyond that. Exactly. So therefore, you cannot put up, if there's no life-threatening issues, you can't put out a fire in your house on Yom Tov for the same reason, because that's not anything to do with food. And the extension
is... But if it's burning the food, then you...
Yeah, the exception would be if you'd have nowhere else to eat on Yom Tov. Let's say you are the only house in the desert, and then your house would be burnt,
and you have no food,
and then you'd have no place to eat your food, right? Then you'd be allowed to put it out, you see. But if there's a neighbor next door, then you'd not be allowed to put it out.
Just making you put it out before Shabbos.
Whatever, right? Now, what if you leave a light on in the bedroom, right? You can't turn it off in order to fall asleep, even though, you know, that would be well. But I can extinguish, but it's not a strong enough activity that's related directly to food for us to extend it to something else. Now, we're not saying about you can have a goy turn it off, but we're not getting into those halachas, but you cannot turn it off.
You can't turn it on either, can you?
No, you can't turn it on either. Because you're making a fire. It's not kindling. Oh, you're making a new fire.
What we're really saying is you can't dim it, right? Like, you've got a dimmer switch. You can't dim it as you could lower a stove.
That's right, because it's just for light, not for heat.
Could you turn it for food purposes. Could you turn it up if it was on already, the light?
Most poskim say not to, because there's other malachas involved. There's still a creative act. It's not like you're simple turning up a flame. There's all kinds of... It's like a coil of a oven. If the thermostat's off, it's like...
Right. Okay, I was just trying to work on the...
I've seen in one safer those that allow it, but most poskim don't allow it.
Just now, the Shabbos lamps, you don't need them anymore.
Let's say you're talking about the chandelier in the dining
room.
Right, no. That's got a dimmer. I saw one safer that they allowed it, but...
It just seems to follow the logic of up but not down.
They keep them both, if I'm saying. But we don't allow that.
When I was in Israel, we went to the Electrical Institute, I forgot the name.
Yeah, so they maybe can create it in a way where it doesn't.
So there's something called a potentiometer, which is a variable resistor, and they said a dimmer switch, basically. And they said that was a... because you're not increasing or you're not... you know, making or taking away something that doesn't exist. You're just increasing or decreasing. They said you could use that on Shabbos, and they were using it for the wheelchairs and all these other things. That
maybe they're specially made, but I don't know if our typical chandeliers work that way. Maybe
all of this is a variable resistance.
Whatever. I'm not saying you can't make it in ways that it's not doing it, but I don't. You'd have to know in each house how it's made.
Normal dimmer
switches. All dimmer switches right. are just a resistor that is.
All right. I plead a bit of ignorance here, so I'm not.
The timers are okay for the lights.
The timers.
According
yeah,
to most posts, because you're not doing anything.
You said it before.
It was said before. You're not doing. But Moshe was not a big fan of timers, but anyway. So let's. I'd have. What? Ramosha Feinstein was not a big fan of Pisces.
I don't think he's fond of things. That's not fond of.
Similarly, on Yontif, you can lower an existing flame for the direct purpose of cooking where no other option is available. Okay, that we said clearly. You could turn down a flame, let's say gas flame, for sure, because that is specifically involved in the food preparation. Because if you keep the large one, it'll burn it. Now, but if, let's say, the pot is fully cooked, can you shut off the flame completely?
That's fully extinguishing, I think.
No.
So that you can't, because all you'd have to do is just take the pot off.
Yeah, it also can.
I'll just take the pot off. Yeah. Right now,
you want to stay warm.
If it's not cooked yet, so then you'd have to lower the flame because it will burn it. Mm-hmm. Right? So then you don't have a choice. You have to lower the flame. But if the thing's fully cooked, so what's your problem?
You want it to stay warm.
So what do? Take it off, and before you want to eat it, put it back on.
Yeah.
Why do you have to do anything more? Why do you have to turn it down, right? So to shut off completely. No, shut off completely. You can lower it.
Right.
Lower, but why are you shutting it off completely? Just take it off. That's not going to change the cooking of it, right? So that's in that one. Now here's an interesting shiloh over here. What if you've got a flame? Let's say you've got a gas stove. So you've got one burner on, okay? And now it's too hot. So you want to lower it. But there really is another solution. What's the other solution? Since it's a gas, the pilot can light two or four different... if you have a pilot light, right, so you could turn on the whatever...
Gas.
The gas on the other side, and the pilot just... extends it further. You could do that. The pilot is on. You just
you can light one burner from another burner?
It's just extending the fire. If you have a pilot...
Isn't that feeding a fire?
Yeah.
No, you're just putting the gas in it. You're just making the fire large. You're not creating a fire. You're extending the fire.
Remember we talked about the match last week?
The match is no fire.
No fire.
The gas and the match are the same thing. So you put the gas close to the fire.
It's going into the fire and it's becoming fire.
What's a pilot light, Shelley?
It's fire, and you're
increasing.
It's already there, so you're just increasing it. You're just increasing the fire.
Our range works differently. Each one has a separate ignition switch.
Yes. No. I'm talking about the old-fashioned kind, where let's say there's a good pilot light here, and the gas goes from there, and it just lights next to it without an ignition. I'm not talking about ignition switches. Ignition switches are big problems.
Yeah.
So anyway, so let's just say you've got the fire here. It's too high, but I have it. So I have what do you want to say? Lower the fire. Right? Wait a minute, but why should I lower the fire if I could just turn up a new fire, not a new fire, but a fire that's coming out, transferring from the pilot, and make a low fire instead of extinguishing
and then
a fire?
Move it
to the other one.
So
there's a big machlokas in the poskim, and it's not clear what the conclusion is in that case. So you have on whom to rely on just to lower it, you don't have to make another fire. Why?
Well, say you've got four, and you do that before.
Well, I don't think anybody keeps four burners on, but no, that's why the best thing to do. So if you have gas, the best thing would be to have two different fires, a higher one and a lower one.
Just move it back and forth.
The higher and lower one. That's a simple solution. That gets out of the shiloh. People get scared, so that's another issue. If you're not scared.
Yeah, I'm not going to shul that.
I don't know. Anyway, everyone's nervous about these things.
If the problem with gas is just your opening and closing, is just increasing or decreasing the gas, why couldn't you do the same thing with your boiler for the water?
If that's what you're doing, what do you mean? You could turn the water on. You could turn hot water on Yom Tov for sure. You could turn the hot water on Yom Tov. Not on Shabbos.
No, no, but can you increase or decrease the heat of the hot water?
How are you going to increase it?
There's a dial that increases
heat. So when the... There's a thermostat there, no?
Yeah.
If it's thermostats on, you could increase it.
Yeah. It's like the lights for the electric range.
When the thermostat's off, when the thermostat's off, when you increase it, you're turning on a fire. The thermostat's on.
What's the point?
Well, what if you have radiant heat in your place where essentially it's going all the time?
Okay, this is too fancy stuff for me. I don't know.
It's the same thing. It's just a variable dial that increases the flow.
If you're just making the fire hotter,
when it's already on,
and it's on, then you could do that. If that's what's going on.
And if it's off, you can turn it down.
If it's off, you could turn it off because there's nothing on.
The same thing,
but no, but I'm saying if it's set on medium and now it's not running now because it's got the thermostat is taking it to high, you can turn it lower.
So that's probably the logic for the potential, the variable, the dimmer. That you're just increasing the flow rate of the amount.
Again, it doesn't answer the question about the cup of time.
Okay, I don't know. Howard, I'm out of my league here.
But if your heater's on, and you're just increasing your electric heat, right? You're just, all you're doing is adding
if
more electricity.
If that's all that's happening, you have to be a big buck, because a lot of things is not that way. A lot of things, there's new things that haven't been heated up at all, and you're making a new fire in a new part. So you have to know exactly how it is. So I'm not set. You have to know how it works in your house and how, you know, what your potentiometers are.
I did actually ask them directly that question when I was in Israel. Can you turn the dial? And the guy said, yeah.
Okay, so I guess, you know, there are these, what?
No, I don't know. He was in like...
Again, I'd have to know more about the technicals of that. I plead ignorance there. Now...
I got to get that guy's name.
Now, another thing is, just like you can't remove a burning log from a large fire, many postings say you can't separate two adjoining flames that were together and to separate them. Because when you have two together that are large, when you make them small, it's like diminishing. And that's where we're going to get to that problem in a moment.
Okay.
Let me get to that 1 second. So how about another thing? What if you're lighting one candle from another? Is that a problem? Because now I got one candle, and I'm putting it together.
Take it away.
It's higher. When I take it away, it's lower. But no, because the whole problem of separating two flames, because it appears like extinguishing. But when there's no intention of maintaining the large flame to begin with, because this is here by itself, I'm just wanting to catch on to it. So I never planned on making a bigger fire. So then that's not a problem. So you can light from one and separate it. That is not a problem. Where it does become an issue is how when Motzei Shabbos is Yontif, right? Yes, when
you have
Shabbos going
Shabbos
into
Sunday Yontif.
Like when you have Saturday night is Yontif coming out of pace of Shabbos. Right. So now what's going to happen? So many poskim say the one that happens, you can put two candles together to form a multi-wicked flame in order to say the Havdalah, because those two flames were never intended to remain as one flame. Same idea. They were separated, just putting them together for a second, but only for Havdalah. It's nothing that was burning for a long time and then you're separating it. If we could see by the way you're doing, did you ever plan on making a big fire? You're planning to do the Mitzvah Havdalah, that's all. So then you could separate. However, other posts can say no, that the two candles should be held only in close proximity, but not joined together.
Avoid the issue.
Because the fires maybe can connect, but not the wicks. But clearly you can't light a multi-wicked Havdalah candle, because how are you going to put it out?
Yeah, you go, there it goes.
You can't put it out.
Your Havdalah candle is near the end. Can you just let it burn?
Yeah, if you want to voice the whole Havdalah candle.
You can have Havdalah candle nibs. You know, the little remainders, you know. Leave them for that special time.
Okay. The next halacha, which we said as well.
Idea, like muffin.
So now, can you walk on Yontif with a lit candle? Let's say you want to take it into a dark room.
Or the classic case of
So as long as you don't move in a way that will cause the candle to go out, you can do it. And especially when you're using an oil flame, you have to even be more careful, because it's not enough to only avoid putting the candle out. Be careful to prevent the oil from shaking back and forth in the container, because causing the oil to come near and further away from the fire is equivalent to lighting and extinguishing it, because you're putting more oil. So you've got to move it in a way that the oil doesn't move.
That's tricky.
All right, so that's that, right. So then you have to take, when you have an oil candle, an oil thing, you've got to be very slow and make sure it doesn't shake at all. Similarly, if you're going outside with a candle, where the wind is going, it's not a very good idea because most likely that is going to go out as well.
We said that last week when we were talking about getting a flame from a neighbor or something like that.
Right, same issue over there. Now, there's one last one that's a little bit complicated over here. We know biblically, a malacha is only prohibited if you do the malacha directly. If you're only a grumma, if you cause the malacha to happen, that's not a problem. On Yontif. On Shabbos, the rabbis don't even let you do a grumma for a malacha, except in situations where there'd be a financial loss. So then they let you do a grumma for a malacha.
Can you give an example?
We're going to in a minute. So let's say, even though it's forbidden to extinguish a fire that's causing damage on Shabbos, right? But you could set up water containers around the fire, that as the fire expands, it will go into the water containers and go out. So that's a grumma on Shabbos to avoid a financial loss. That's what you would be allowed to do. Okay. So now, there's a machlokas amongst the posting of causing a malacha is permitted on Yontif, even in a situation where there's no financial loss. When there's no financial loss, can you do a grumma for this? So the accepted ruling is not to rely on this alone. But when there's other reasons to be lenient that could be added on to this, and where does this become very practical? See, even though there are certain people, and I'm not saying you have to be, there are certain people who are stringent about opening the door of a refrigerator on Shabbos when the motor is off, or opening the door of an oven when the flame is off, when the thermostat is off. Because what happens? If you open the door, you could be causing, at that moment,
the thermostat
to go up. So that's no financial loss, and on Shabbos we would not allow a grumma from Malacha Doraisa. The question is, would we be allowed on Yontif? So on Yontif, even those who are strict on Shabbos were lenient, because since you're only directly doing, there's other leniencies, so therefore you're allowed to open. So therefore the big difference to Halacha is, on Shabbos you can't open the stove if the light, the thermostat light is off. Okay? On Yontif you may.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, because it's only a grumma.
So talk to my wife about that. I thought she's always careful to make sure the light's on before she opens it.
She doesn't have to do that for Yontif.
For Yontif, no, for Shabbos.
On Shabbos, you don't even use it because we don't keep the oven on at all.
But you could, theoretically, you have the food on in the oven.
You have to leave it on for 24 hours, but our oven shuts off after.
You have a Shabbos mode. You have a Shabbos mode in the oven?
I'm just saying.
I think that's a different story. So is it the same on the refrigerator and the oven? Because I thought the refrigerator is so distant, it doesn't necessarily go on when you open it.
It could happen. Sometimes you open it for about 5 seconds, it goes on.
I think the oven's more immediate. That if it's
not always, not always.
We always wait with the oven.
We always wait, too.
I said to... that's what... On Yontif? You don't have to wait on Yontif.
Really?
Who said you have to wait on Yontif?
I presume we got it from the rabbi.
What are you waiting for with the stove?
He says, you're
waiting for it to be on, so when you open
even
it,
those that are stringent, when the motor's off or opening the door of an oven,
no,
the flame is off
all,
on Shabbos, would be more lenient seeing those appliances on Yontif.
Because if it's on,
if you
already,
open the oven, Howard, it cools off inside, then the thermostat says, let's turn it on, let's get hotter again. And therefore, you're causing it to do. So you can't do that on Shabbos.
Your oven's already off for Shabbos when
you're No.
On
Yontif, when you
have your oven
I'm telling you, the oven is on.
On Yontif.
And so I say in Shabbos.
Okay, Shabbos.
The oven's on Shabbos. I'm not talking about Sabbath modes
so
now.
Okay,
they're constructed in a way that
yeah,
to avoid those problems.
Shabbos, we don't have that on anymore.
So you don't use an oven on Shabbos. Okay, but what if you did?
We have an old-fashioned oven downstairs.
Let's say you're a kind of person, old-fashioned, you keep the oven on the whole Shabbos.
Yeah.
You know, before you had all these timers and everything.
Right. So now you have Shabbos modes.
So you put the cholent.
Okay, that's a different issue. But I'm just saying that there was an issue. If you open up the oven, that could cause
it to
go on. So like Mordechai will never open the fridge on Shabbos if the motor is not running.
He stands there listening for
it to be running. One of us opens it.
Oh, I see.
So how do we rationalize the fridge?
The Shabbos going.
What?
Because
no, not
even.
Does he hint? What? Oh, I'm so hungry. I wish I could touch
the
oven.
I'm thirsty for a cold beverage.
No, but there's more. There's more. The fridge is less of a grumble.
That's what I thought.
But there are those who are strict. I'm just saying there are those who are strict and won't open.
Just to clarify, the rabbi holds that an old-fashioned oven
you should not open if the thermostat is off.
On Shabbos.
No, Yontif.
On Yontif you could open it.
If the light's off, you can still open it, even though it will cause it to start.
Yes.
Okay, that makes life a lot easier.
Just to clarify on the fridge, why were you more lenient?
There's a lot of other issues with a fridge.
Or would it be that
so I mean those lights on the top
a fridge
don't matter
is what?
Either?
You have 30
on the burner thing?
Yeah.
5 degrees, 38 degrees Fahrenheit, right? So an oven, though, when it's running at 450, it's more sensitive. Any cold air is going to cause it to come up.
Yeah.
But in the fridge, it's not that big a difference. Maybe
right.
That's why.
It could be.
Sorry.
We're more lenient.
Does the rabbi hold in the elements? It's the same story? You don't have to wait for the light to... That's why we bought that device that shows...
No. That's the stove top.
Right, the elements.
The top is different than the oven.
Why?
Because the coil, it's different. Because when it's on... let's say when you have it on a low setting... There's a time where the thermostat goes off, and you don't know when it's off because there's no lights telling you.
Correct.
Now, if I turn it off, there's a different. We're talking about opening, and you're talking about turning up. It's a different law altogether.
Oh, I see.
When you're opening the door, you're just causing
it. Maybe that's
it.
What she does. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Right?
Totally out to lunch.
For the oven,
she turns the oven higher and lower.
Turning it up when the thermostat's
okay.
on.
I apologize.
Well, don't turn up.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
We have a thing on our oven. I will tell Anita not to use it. We used to. We have one for the burners and for the oven.
But don't
I put it in special?
Yeah.
I have the same thing.
Well, we have an old-fashioned oven that still has a light.
For Shabbos, that would be for Shabbos.
A lot of times, the ovens come like that. Your electrician.
No, but that's for turning it on.
That's because that's different. That's going to turn up the element.
Right.
That's creating a fire. We're just talking about opening the door.
Don't you need that for the oven? Doesn't your wife want to turn the oven higher and lower?
Do you turn it when the light is?
It's not just opening the door. It's turning it higher and lower. So that's where you need the light.
Yeah,
that's where the confusion was.
When the light
is
on, you raise it.
The light on means the burner's on and the burner's off.
The burner's on.
So you're right.
You want to turn it down or up?
I was wrong.
No, only up, not down. It's down, you'd be extinguishing it.
So when it's
we finally found the guy.
The light's on, you turn it higher, because all you're doing is kindling it more. You're making it go more. But when the light's off, the thing is off, so now you can turn it down.
He's around. He's still doing it. He's just so busy now.
Yes, those very sensitive. Just somebody touching him.
Oh, to another guy. So if you need someone,
they have a yellow light, a red light, and a green light.
Because they're
just for each element.
It's for each different element. There's four. Is that left, left back, right back, left front, right front, right? Those four, and that tells you which element is on or off.
I got it.
How much did it charge you?
It didn't help
anything. Well, I can't get the guy yet because he's too busy to do it. We have to wait till after the other.
It's such a business.
We changed stoves, and now we don't have the box.
Ari did a great job. So. It looked like they were built like that.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on with new Rambam.
So you learned something tonight, Howard.
So people who are like developmentally delayed can figure out which one.
I don't know, but I went to electrical and engineering. They didn't say anything about it.
I don't think they would make that for claim.
No, in fact, they would tell you not to put it on because it's a fire hazard. We had the fire people over because they had the blecht on, right? And the guy was so upset that she had a blecht on. So it's a fire hazard. You should go to your rabbi and tell him Jews are. Should not be cooking with a black gun. It's a, she started a fire in the house. But anyways, it's a long time.
Okay. Let's do at least one more Rambam today before we call it a day. We're in the Rambam Hilchos Yontif Perek Dalet Halacha Zayin, Chapter 4, Law 7. And that is on page 226 and 227. Some further laws regarding extending, making the fire bigger. Okay, a novchin b'mapuach b'yontif. You don't blow a fire with a bellows. I guess that's a specially designed instrument that makes the air blow out, right? Because that looks like a weekday activity. Kidei shlo yask derech u'mi'osin. You don't wait the professionals do it. Aval noichin v'shofer. You could use a tube. Like a tube like that. I guess you can even fan with a plate.
What's the difference?
It's made for that purpose.
One is it looks more weekday. It looks like a weekday activity, right? Because there's part of Yontif is you don't do things exactly the way they're done in a weekday activity. It's more like work than not. But use a tube, that's not the normal way.
That's for sure.
And osim pechamim, you can't make charcoal on Yontif. Why? Because how do you make charcoal? It's by putting out the fire. I'll be putting out the fire, and that's not directly, for the making of food. Vein goldlin es apsila, you don't braid a wick. Vlo mahavavim, so you don't singe the wick. Vlo chotchin oso l'shnayim bekeli, you don't cut it up into two pieces inside a utensil. These are all different ways of preparing wicks. that, you know, should have been done before Yontif, you don't leave it for Yontif. But what you could do is a little indirect again, avol memacha bayod, you could squeeze a wick with your hand, which is not the direct way of doing it, v'sharis habashemen, and put it in oil, u'meneichaso ben shneit neros, and you could have between two fires. Let's say you have candle, wick. It's one wick to two candles. That's what it was, right? And then umadlik v'empath, then light the middle of the wick. What's going to happen?
The burn will spread.
The two wicks will split.
Right.
And each candle candles. Will have its own wick. That you can do. V'nimtza psil nechlekas b'fnei shnei neros. And then it becomes two candles, then that's okay. That's you just lit it. You're just lighting it. And by itself, you're like a grumma. By itself, it made it into two wicks. But you just lit one wick, something that's not your problem. Okay, another example of things you can't do on Yom Tov. You can't break a piece of shard, or you can't cut a piece of paper in order to fry fish upon it. It seems that in the olden days, if you wanted to fry fish on the oven, you would take a piece of earthenware or a piece of paper or other things, and you cut it, and then you'd be able to and put water on it, and then it would make it that the fish wouldn't burn. So you can't do that. And you can't break open a reed, to make it like a spit, to roast things that are salted. And so it's all going to be the same reason for all these. And shaput near tzaf, and a spit that's been bent out of shape, and even was bent on yontif. In other words, I couldn't even have taken care of this before, because it happened on yontif.
It's a metal spit.
Yeah, even though he could physically just bend it back with his hands, you can't fix it. Similar, shnei kelim sheim uchubarim betchilas asyason. Let's say two utensils that were connected as they were built. Two candles were stuck together, or shnei kosos, or two cups were stuck together. I guess in the olden days it could make two cups at a time. And pokes in the sunshine, you don't break them into two. And all these, why can't you do any of this? It's like you have repaired the utensil. All these were examples of things that weren't fit to be used, even in the beginning when it says you're cutting the paper to be able to roast on it. You're cutting the shard, the earthenware. You're all making it like into utensil, and that, you know, it's not, it, since it looks that much like it, therefore you're not allowed to do it.
So you wouldn't be able to cut baking powder, paper on your Yom Tov, I guess, right? You know how they make cookies and all that with this paper?
Parchment paper.
Right, that's the problem.
You have to pre-cut it.
Yeah.
Even though it's not perforated or anything, you can't just
It's cutting it, you're making it into utensil. You couldn't use the whole thing.
I know the foil comes with these things, you just pull them out.
That's why they make them now, that you can buy with pre-cut foil. That you have to be aware of all those different things. That's a problem. That's a problem. Okay. let's stop there. Okay? Okay, we'll go to the other room for the Rambam.
You did use that. You know what happens? We'd want to
eat a little fetch there?
Right.
I had an interesting chat with your...